And now, to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Jenny.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm an alcoholic. I'm just timing myself. So I get really nervous. Am I loud enough? I get really nervous to share, especially at this. I feel like that's not making me more nervous at all, but because I come here and I see so many people that I respect and that I admire, and I hear speakers here, so I'm like, oh man, now I have to speak. You know, so it just makes me more nervous. You know, and to be among my fellows and actually know you guys. But I'm just gonna try and be honest and, you know, share my truth. So, really nervous. My sobriety date is February 3rd, 2009. So I have 4 years sober. I have a sponsor. Her name is Tony. My home group is here. You know, and that's cool. But I guess I'll kind of just start. So, you know, I grew up with a pretty normal life. Everything I needed, I had. Most things I wanted, I had. You know, I grew up really blessed, and I had a mom and a dad, and I have two sisters and a brother, and my life was just really normal. You know, and there's when I was young, I lived in Connecticut. That's where I grew up, and things were fine. I had friends. A lot of people say they felt like totally uncomfortable from forever, and I don't know how. I remember feeling uncomfortable and not liking myself, but I don't know that I always felt that way. But I do remember feeling like that for a long time, and just feeling like I wasn't enough before I ever picked up. And that's just a feeling I had. I wasn't enough. And if I could only change this, if I could only be like this, people would like me more, I would be better. Always just looking for some sort of outside thing to make it better, whether it was like candy, cookies, which I, you know, eat a lot of that still, but, you know, but things were fine when I was younger. And when I was 10, we moved to the city. My brother went to rehab. My parents got divorced. And I didn't really care about that, but I did think that my brother going to rehab was, like, so cool. You know, and that's what I thought. I didn't really understand why that would be sad. I didn't really get it, and I just thought that he was cool. You know, and I was always a troublemaker. I was always getting in trouble at school. And people would say, you're just going to be just like your brother. And I was like, cool, because he's really cool. You know, and that's what I thought. I started using drugs when I was like 13, and it like immediately like took off. very parched. I started smoking weed all the time because it was a lot easier to get that than it was alcohol. And I immediately figured out how I could do that, how I could smoke weed all the time, how I could make that work, how I could, like, manipulate everybody in my life to make it work for me. And I started, like, running away from my mom, living with my dad, and he would constantly be like, you need to go home, and I'd be like, no. And he didn't really know how to handle a teenager, and he was like, okay, and then he would leave. And so I would kind of just do whatever I wanted, and I was 13, and he was never really around. He had a new girlfriend or a new wife. I don't remember what she was at that point, but, well, I mean, now she's the wife, but at that time, So he was busy, you know, and one of my sisters, all my siblings had gone away to boarding school. One of them had come back and was living with my dad. She was never really there. She had some sort of internship or something. I'm not really sure. And she also was living with my dad and not speaking to my mom. And my mom is really nice. She's totally normal and totally sane. My dad is not like my mom. He doesn't really know how to be a parent. So it was much easier to live with him and use with him. And so my sister came home. I don't really know where she was, but she brought this girl. She brought this girl home with her, who was her friend, and me and this girl, she was like 5 years older than me, just hung out all the time. And I smoke weed with her all the time, and that's how I started to do it. My friends in seventh and eighth grade, they weren't doing that, so I found somebody who I could do that with. And right away I had consequences, right from the start. I couldn't just use once in a while. And I remember the first time that I drank, I specifically drank to get drunk. I was like, I'm going to get really, really drunk. And I woke up, I had blacked out, and woke up in my vomit, and there's just like broken glass everywhere. And like, that's how it started. It didn't get any better. It only got worse. And I drank whenever I could. And whenever I couldn't drink, I was always smoking weed and using other things. I couldn't show up for anyone. It was really all about me. I couldn't show up for anyone, and I couldn't show up to any kind of family thing without being drunk or high. I got in physical altercations with my mom. I really hated myself, and I didn't want to kill myself, but I didn't really want to be alive anymore. I really didn't like who I was. My mom and her apartment had these like big windows, and you could like open them, and we were on the 9th floor, and I just would think about like jumping out of them. Like I could just walk right out, but like I didn't want to kill myself. I just like didn't want to continue living, and like I didn't know that there was a different way to live. So like I just didn't want to live anymore. So I went away to boarding school thinking that if I left, everything would get better and that all my problems were like here. But I was also there, so my problems were also there. And my plan was, from the get-go, I knew the rules were if you get caught drinking or using drugs, you get suspended, but you get to come back. So I was like, that's fine. I just won't drink, because if I drink, I black out and I get in trouble, so I'll just use drugs. And then when I get caught, then I'll stop. And that was my plan, and I thought that was like a really good plan. So it didn't last long. As you can imagine, it did not last long. It didn't work very well. And I was unhappy again. I would show up to class high. I couldn't handle just being me. I didn't really know how to handle life. And slowly all my friends started to get kicked out of school. And I would go home on weekends, and I would black out all the time. I'd like wake up and I'd be in some person's house in Brooklyn. I wouldn't know how I got there, and I had been robbed, so I didn't have any money to get home. I didn't know how to get home, and like that's just like what I did. And I thought I couldn't imagine anything else, and that's just what I did. Then I would go back to school, and like I thought that I wouldn't become a drug addict if I used different drugs every day of the week. So that's what I tried to do. And even like, it was very insane, my thinking was very insane. Shit hit the fan, and I had this friend, and her mom was a teacher, and I hid a lot of drugs at her house. And so her mom found them, and I kind of put this lady in the situation where she could either tell the school and her daughter would get kicked out and she wouldn't get fired, or she could tell no one and she would get fired. And by doing that, like, I didn't even see that like my using and the way I acted could affect other people. Like, it didn't occur to me that like I could affect her like life, like her livelihood, her job. And like, even after that happened, like, I said sorry, but like I didn't really care. And what I did do was I was like, okay, I'm going to calm down a little bit. Like, I'm going to cool it. Like, I'm going to try and, like, lay low. And then I started selling drugs. And so they started turning around school, and I got suspended from school. So I said again, I'm going to lay low. I'm going to try and play it cool. And then I got kicked out of school. And I really meant these things that I said. I constantly meant I'm going to use less. I'm not going to black out. I won't get in trouble. And I meant those things. And it just, every time it happened. And I remember using one night and talking to my friend and being like, every time I drink, I can't stop. And every time I drink, like, something bad happens. And she, like, just, like, looked at me and, like, didn't know what I was talking about. And she was like, don't drink. And, obviously it's not that simple. And I just kind of continued on. And kind of what happened was, my friend Will, who I used everything I did with him. We he was doing all the stuff that I was doing. We were using drugs together, and he one night was like, I need help. And I was like, no, you don't. And he was like, I need help. I can't live like this anymore. I'm like, just go to bed. Things will be different in the morning. And he was like, no, like, I really can't do this anymore. And so he went to the school counselor, and I don't know what happened. He was gone, and the next morning they called me in, and I said, you're gone too. And they sent me to rehab. And the crazy thing is, like, I didn't ask for help. Like, I didn't want help. And this kid did. He did want help. And he's not sober. I don't know where he is, you know? And, like, that's what's, like, so crazy about this disease, you know? So, I don't know. It's just, when I had 2 years on my anniversary, I actually had lunch with him, and he had 6 months sober, and it was, like, the most amazing thing. And then he didn't stay sober. And that's kind of the sad part about this, you know? We don't all get to keep it if we don't work for it, and not everyone makes it. And that's, it's a reminder that this is actually, it is life and death, and it is a really serious thing, you know? So I got sent to rehab. The thing is, like, I didn't even have a desire to stop drinking. Like, I just wanted bad stuff to stop happening. Like, I didn't even want to stop. Like, I didn't think I was an alcoholic. And I kind of thought that I would go there for 30 days and, like, people would get off my back and I'd be okay. You know, when I ended up being there for 5 months, and what did happen was they took us to AA meetings, and a woman came in and brought AA meetings to us. And I heard this woman share, and she shared my story, like, everything. Like, it was just the same, and, like, I had never identified so much. And I thought that I was so different and so unique. She, like, told my story, and it, like, blew me away. But then she kept going for, like, 20 more years. And that really scared me. And, like, it was the first time that, like, I actually, like, had an open mind and was, like, I might not know all the answers. And it's not like everything suddenly got better from there, but it was the first time that I was able to have an open mind and realize, like, I am not everything. You know, so I started to listen, and I started to identify, and that was such a powerful thing for me, to identify when I felt like I didn't identify to anyone. And sort of to be a part of this amazing thing, like, I felt comfortable there, and I hadn't felt comfortable in so long. And then this thing started to happen where I was getting happy, and I was happy. And I remember, like, you know when you're really happy or, like, excited or something cool happens and you get that, like, feeling in your stomach? Like, I got that feeling and was like, whoa, like, what is that, you know? So when I got out of rehab, I got a sponsor, and, like, I wanted to be here, and I didn't want to drink, and, like, I didn't know if I was an alcoholic, but slowly, like, I became sold on the ideas of this program and in the book, and, like, you know, that in the doctor's opinion, it talks about the phenomenon of craving and the allergy to alcohol, and, like, I believed that I had that. Like, I could see that, and I could understand that, you know? So I started going to meetings every day, and I got this sponsor, Tony, and she told me to go to meetings every day, to get a position at a meeting at my home group, and that was Chapter 5 at the time. So I started doing coffee and snacks there. She told me to get numbers, so I got numbers to all the meetings I went to. She told me to call people. I tried to call people. I didn't do that perfectly. You know, I didn't do any of it perfectly, but I tried my best to do those things. I don't really know why. You know, I don't know. I was just desperate. I don't know why I did those things, you know. And we started to work the steps, and, like, I thought that, like, you had to work the steps. Like, I thought that, like, I don't know. I don't know if I thought that I would be kicked out if I didn't. I don't know. But my life started to change, you know. And I was in high school. I was 16. And I hated going to high school. And it was, like, really hard to go to this place where, like, all these kids, like, they just seemed, like, normal. And then I would come here and I would, like, relate to everyone here and feel so comfortable and then have to go back to high school and, like, so I went to morning meetings before high school, and, like, that helped me so much. And, like, my plan wasn't to, like, finish high school. I didn't want to do that. And, like, somehow I did. And then now I'm going to college, you know, and I have these goals in my life, and I'm trying to work on them and do those things, you know, and sobriety has been such a gift. Because when I got sober, I kind of was like, the big book they talk about is, like, the farmer or something, and there's, like, this tornado, and he goes into, like, his cellar, and he comes out, and he's like, isn't it great the wind stopped blowing? Like, I was like that. Like, I was like, isn't it great? Like, I'm not drinking. Like, everybody should just, like, love me now and, like, be so happy. Like, I'm great, you know, but there was, like, a lot of damage. Like, I had done a lot of damage. And I, like, got to build this relationship with my mom and, like, my sister. And my sister hated me, and I hated her. And, like, she's so cool, you know? And, like, I get to hang out with her and, like, be a sister. And, like, I've gotten to show my family, and, like, I definitely don't do it perfectly, and I definitely have my problems with them. But, like, each day I try and do my best, you know? And that's all I can do. Another thing I wanted to sort of talk about was, like, you know, the promise that we will know a new happiness. And, like, the happiness that I feel today is not anything I knew or had before. It's so different and so amazing, you know? And an important part of that is working with others, you know, and working with newcomers and trying to be of service wherever I can. And one thing I wanted to read is in working with others. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as the intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when all other activities fail. And, like, immunity, like, that's big, you know? I don't know. So that was just something, like, if I do this, like, I might not drink, you know? And so I try and do that. I try and work with others. Nervous. But I've gone to show up, and my sister, like, my other sister, like, 6 months ago, we didn't talk for a long time, and I tried to make amends to her once, and she had a lot of her own problems and didn't talk to my mom for a long time, and I tried to make amends to her, and what was suggested to me was that I should email her once a week, because we weren't talking at that point. We had intervention on her, and she didn't want to talk to any of us anymore. So I emailed her once a week, and she never responded, and I would just email her and email her and email her just because that's what I was told to do, and, like, I believed if I did the things that my sponsor told me and the program told me to do, like, it would be okay. So I just did that. And then eventually she started responding to those emails, like, here and there, and I saw her a couple of times, and, you know, she was, like, really sick. She has, like, a lot of her own issues. And then one night she called me and asked me to take her to rehab. You know, and I got to do that, and it was weird because I wasn't that close with her, and, like, but I was all she had, like, I wasn't even that close with her, and, like, but I got to show up for her because where she was, there was no one else, you know, and it was such a gift to get to do that, you know, and I'm still working on my relationship with her today, and I try and talk to her, but that's, like, a gift of the program that I get to show up for other people when, like, in the past, like, I didn't care about anyone else and, like, didn't see how, like, I could even affect them, Yeah. My mind just goes blank. No, but I am really, really grateful to be here because when I came here to see this meeting in particular, see all these young people and be like, wow, like, these are people I'd want to be friends with. Like, these people seem, like, really cool. And, like, to get to come here and see that, it made me want to stay sober. You know, it made me, like, realize, like, being sober is cool and, like, it is, like, a way of life that I want. And this meeting made me want that, which is, like, so cool. Like, what a gift that we have this. You know, and I don't know, I'm running out of things to say, so I think I should just stop talking. So thank you very much.